the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've been talking about love in many, many different forms. We've been talking about sacrifice. And now I think it would be a good idea to speak about expressions of love, especially to our beloved Lord. Now, we as Roman Catholic Christians are extraordinarily fortunate because we recognize that Christ literally gave us his body, blood, soul, and divinity, his living, breathing self to dwell among us. In every tabernacle, in every Roman Catholic church or Catholic church, you will find the presence of our beloved Lord in the Eucharist. Now, anyone who's Catholic knows that once the consecration takes place during the Mass, all the bread ceases to exist and all the wine ceases to exist. It may look like wine, it may look like bread, it may taste like wine, it may taste like bread. We call these the accidents of bread and wine remain. But the substance is changed into the living body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Now, if that is true, and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that is true, that is the absolute truth. That is what Christ gave us, that's what he said. Anyone who does not believe that Christ, that the Eucharist is the living, breathing Jesus Christ, has lost their way, had lost their way with regard to understanding Christ and scriptures and tradition. Now, you have to keep in mind that scripture without tradition is like half of a coin. You just can't have it. You have to have tradition and scripture. And the reason is because the words of God, the words of Christ, the word of salvation, the word of God, was fleshed out through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised this. So the Holy Spirit is there to make certain that the church is living in harmony and accord with his teachings, with the teachings of God. And so therefore, we have found throughout all of history, Christian history, mankind has recognized that the Eucharist is the living presence of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so what we have in this day and age is we have periods of time where we go into a church and we adore him. Now, you can go to any other Christian ecclesial community and you will find an empty building. And the only thing that animates that building is when the speaker comes in, the minister comes in, and wows them with a homily. We, on the other hand, you can find in many Catholic churches and many, many Eucharistic chapels, you know, hundreds of thousands around the world, you will find always someone kneeling in prayer. You will find someone there in adoration speaking to our beloved Lord. Why? Because our church isn't an empty hall. It isn't a gathering place for Sundays. Our churches are the temple of God. Our churches house the Ark of the Covenant. Our churches have the real living presence of the God-made man, Jesus Christ. And when we go there to primarily meet him. Just as all the sacraments, we go to the sacrament of confession to meet the merciful Christ. We go to Mass to meet and encounter the redeeming Christ. When we go to a baptism, we are encountering the creating Christ, that God created all things through one word, all came to be. And in that great sacrament, in the waters that Christ sanctified through his own baptism, which he didn't need, it was for our sake that he sanctified those waters. We enter into that baptism. When all the sacraments, when we receive the sacrament of anointing, we are being healed by that power of Christ in and through the Holy Spirit. And these are encounters with Christ. That is what real love is. I mean, let's face it. If I had a picture of someone I loved, say, for example, I had a picture of my mother, and I had it on the wall, but yet my mother lived right across the street, and every day I would sit in front of that picture and I'd say, "Oh, Mother, I love you." And I would look at that picture, maybe even kiss it a couple of times, but never went over to see her, never spent time with her. Would you say that I had a great love for my mother? You would say, "What's the matter with you? Are you crazy? You got the picture over here. What's better, the picture of your mom?" You'd go to visit the mother. Well, the same thing with Christ. In every Roman Catholic church, we find the living, breathing Jesus. He is a prisoner of love in every tabernacle, and that is the living Jesus. And so, in the wisdom of the church, In fact, at the Vatican, at St. John Lateran's, in all of the churches throughout Rome, many of the churches have chapels where the Blessed Sacrament is exposed sometimes 24 hours a day. And people come there and they speak to our beloved Lord and they listen to his words. You can't love someone without some intimate contact. That simply is that. You can love someone from a distance, but if you want a relationship with them, you have to have proximity. And that's the same thing with Christ. I mean, even in marriage, the vows insist that the two are dwelling as one. They live in the same domicile. They spend time together. And if they're separated too long of a time, they have to get special permission for that because it goes against the entire concept of matrimony, of that kind of covenantal love. Now, Christ became man. Why? So that we would know him, that we would love him, that we could have an intimate relationship with him, not only as God, but as man, as a person. And so as a person, he remains in the tabernacle, remains in our church, and allows us the privilege of going to meet with him, to speak with him, to listen to him. That's something else that we have to understand, is that it's not all about vocal prayer. Vocal prayer is kind of the beginning of prayer. In the concept of love and in this element of divine and human unity, there has to be a give and take, so to speak, a listening and speaking. So it's not good to just talk to God. We must also listen to God. That is what means to have a true relationship. Listen. How many wives do I hear, and even husbands sometimes, who will say, my spouse doesn't listen to me. I'm like talking to a wall, talking to a brick wall. Well, we, on the other hand, do not speak to a brick wall. We don't talk to a God who is somewhere in the cosmos. We speak with a God who is intimately united with us, who waits for us. And we spend that time in adoration, adoring him, recognizing that our utter and complete dependence upon him for our very well-being, for our very concept of love, for our very existence. For it is this very God who holds us in the palm of his hand. He recreates us every second of our lives. And for this reason, we must go to meet him. We must spend time before him, loving him, and allowing him to love us in not only a divine way, but the human way of his physical human presence. This is what adoration is all about. This is why you will always find someone there in a Catholic church praying before the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the living, breathing Jesus. Come, come to the font of life. Come, find out what he wants of you. As the children of Fatima would say to Mary when she appeared, what do you want of me? For love, that is all important. What is it that you want from me, Lord? That's the question we can ask. And if we listen, we will find the answer. We will find it in him, with him, and through him. God bless you.